Psalms 22 in your Bibles, please. A very interesting portion of scripture. David says in verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? While that, look what it says, why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest me not. And in the night season, am I not silent? I can go through the Word of God a lot of places and show you where individuals end up in some crisis situations, some suffering situations, some tribulations, where they cried out to God and it seemed like he didn't care. We'll talk about that tomorrow night. You've been in revival for a week now. I'm convinced with all my heart there are folks in this room tonight, and as much as you're good people, I'm glad you're here, thank God for you. There's some of you still not hearing the voice of God. You got to be in a place where you can hear the voice of God spiritually and geographically. I talked a little bit about that last night. But I don't care who you are in this room or how long you've been saved. There's times when it just seemed like God was speaking to you in a great way, and at other times just seemed like he's been silent. I want you to look at this now, because you know, understand, this is what our Lord said on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's a very interesting portion of scripture. And I want you to see it. He said, why art thou so far from helping me? I want to speak a little while on the subject tonight, seeing things from God's perspective. That's hard for me to do, but I just want to touch on it, and maybe you can get something out of it. I preach pastoral messages. I'm not a conference speaker. I never tried to do that. Never tried to, you know, rally the troops. All I try to do is try to help the church and help the preachers. I want to try to help you tonight, because sometimes we see things through our eyes and an earthly, sinful way, but not seeing it from God's perspective. God sees things far different than we do. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. As high it is from heaven to the earth, it's so different the way he sees things. I want to talk a little bit on that perspective tonight. Father, help us tonight a little while. I pray that you'd fill me, use me, unctionize me, Lord. Inspire me, please, to help these dear folks. Lord, I love this preacher and his family, Lord, and I pray that you'd continue to bless him here as you have in the past. These good preachers that are here tonight, I pray you'd bless their ministries and their family, keep them safe, keep them bright. Lord, pray that you'd do a work in their life and heart. I pray, dear God, please, that you would, Father, meet with us tonight, speak to our hearts, help us in this matter, we ask in Jesus' name, and amen. Whatever you're struggling with and suffering with, there's a tendency, we always have a tendency to ask why. Why me? And that's normal. There's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you say, what have I done? It seems like every time something bad happens in our life, or we go through some struggles or tribulation or suffering, it always goes back to, what did I do to deserve this? And God, why are you punishing me? I think it's the saddest thing in the world for us to blame God on what we're going through when we think it's suffering. It may not be suffering, and I'll explain that in just a moment. This is what we do. We have a burden and a heartache. We come and we ask God to take the burden away from us. When the truth of the matter is, we say, Lord, give us strength of the burden, and God said, no, I'm giving you a burden so you be stronger. My grandson is a bodybuilder. He's a good boy and serves the Lord, but I mean, he works out with weights. There's others in this room like myself. We're bodybuilders too. We just build them a little different than they do. Kim's brother is a bodybuilder. The guy's arms are this big, right? And they work out, right? I've never been to one. I never got that opportunity and that privilege when I played ball. I worked since I was 11 years old, worked with my daddy construction. And so all these guys are pumping weights and I never did. I just worked hard and did what I could to try to keep my body in shape to play ball. But I've been to and saw enough of that to know that when the bodybuilders are working out, they never say take the weights off. They always say and put more on to get more strength. Are you with me now? That's a great burden, but they get stronger with the weight. And sometimes we don't understand that sometimes God gives us a burden to be strong, and what we do is we ask him to take it from us, and God is saying, no, I gave you that for a purpose. David also asked this question in Psalms 22, 1 and 2. And the Lord had put that on him for a reason. Our Lord, if you look at it, it just says, how why are you so far from me and from helping me? I cried in the daytime, but thou hearest me not. I in the night season, and I'm not silent. David was a man after God's own heart, and yet he went through some situations and he cried out right here. He was a man who loved God and was deeply faithful, yet he felt forsaken when he was going through suffering. There's some in this room, I don't care who you are or what your last name is or how much money you got in the bank, every one of us in this room at some point in time, if we live long enough, is going to go through some suffering, some trials and tribulation. The truth of the matter is, as things are going right now in the United States of America, that may come sooner than later. And some of us not aware, we're not ready for it, we're not supplied for it, we're not even looking forward to it, but that may come. I do know this, that some of us in this room within short order, I'm talking about within 12 months, you're going to get a diagnosis that's going to rock your world. There are people in this room right now that love the Lord, but you're going to have to go to a cemetery to bury your loved ones. And some in this room is going to have to get to the point to sit by your wife's bedside as she begins to fade, as I did, and hear your precious wife drown in her own body fluids. You're going to get that phone call one day that one of your children or grandchildren, as I did, a child. What a shock when it comes through the phone. Your son is dead. These things will happen to us. This is life. This is what happens. And I'm simply saying when those times come, you got to be careful, because these are the times where we blaspheme God, we get away from God, we get off track. These biblical stories are for us to see these great biblical characters were just like us. They went through suffering and trials also. My own personal life, I understood a little bit about physical suffering. Years ago, I've been swinging through trees since I was a kid, hunting white-tailed deer with a bow and arrow, and I fell 18 foot. I was a big man then, and I fell 18 foot, broke my L1, broke my back. I won't go into the whole story, but that hurts. It's physical suffering. But more than that, I played ball, man. Everything on me, preacher asked me, how'd you sleep? I did okay. But the truth of the matter is, every day of my life, 24/7, I have pain all over my body. When we played football, we played for real. We actually, Butka said, I went out on the field to hurt people. You'll have to excuse me, I wasn't a Christian then. But if I played ball now, I'd still have that attitude. You don't play that type of ball game playing tag like we're doing with the quarterbacks today. Our job back then was to kill the quarterbacks, amen, right there. But we ain't into that now. We're into almost two-hand touch with the quarterback. Some of you are freezing up on me right now. So you sound like a gladiator, pretty much. That's the manhood that my daddy put in me, of which we're not putting in our sons today. Anyway, enough of that. I played ball. I've injured. I've had surgery. But the emotional pain that I went through when I discovered my mother's death and then my father's death and then my wife and my son was far different than physical pain, preacher. Emotional pain is the worst of the worst. And there's folks in this room who's already gone through that, preacher. I'm preaching to some folks that had it a whole lot worse than I've ever had. But I don't think anybody in this room's had it as bad as Job. Job didn't lose some things. He lost everything. Now, if we're to lose all our wealth and we're to lose everything that we have and all our prosperity, we'd freak out like we have nothing. No savings, no investments, no nothing. We have nothing in the bank. We have nothing. Would be enough for somebody to commit suicide. How about losing your 10 children on top of that? See, folks, I'm not being unkind to you. I love you, but man, us so-called Bible believers, we really don't believe some of them stories. They had 10 caskets lined up, and those children meant as much to that woman and that man as yours do to you. And preacher, they had to go to each casket, just like Cecil would go to each casket of your children looking down, knowing that each one of your children were special and different in a certain way. Because all children are different, right? Sure they are. And your grandchildren are a good reason why you didn't kill your children so you could enjoy grandchildren. But anyway, but they went to each one, and I can see Miss Job just staring at them. 10 of them. Though he slay me. Yet will I trust him. You read that man, it grips you. I don't care what you're going through. When you read Job, it's just got to grab you by the throat and choke you a little bit and just say, you ain't got it that bad, boy. And he sinned not with his lips. Think about that for a minute. A lot of times, preacher, we go through this thing and we shoot his wife, you know, because she said, curse God and die. You ever thought about this? And preachers preach that. That's okay if you want to preach that. I have, but I rethought that thing, and I believe that she was such a holy woman. I believe Job's wife was a holy woman. Because she said, curse God and die. When she saw her lover, the man that was twain, the twain became one flesh. When she saw her man suffering the way he was suffering and had lost everything they had and suffering and scraping those big sore balls with a posture, she saw her lover and her man suffering. She'd rather him just go ahead and die than to suffer like that. And she said, go ahead and curse God and die. She knew that if he had cursed God, God would probably kill him. That's how holy she was. Listen carefully. And this is what he said. You speak as one of the foolish women. Which is saying that you're speaking just like those women of the world. You have never talked like that woman. You have never talked like that. But you're speaking like one of them now. That's how right she was. But still, if you think about it, they lost everything. All those 10 children, think about that. What suffering that had to be. That suffering will take a toll on anybody, preacher, that emotional suffering. And then, I don't know, you can preach it the way you want to. I know you do a lot of that down through the different books of the Bible, but I got to thinking, you know, there was nobody like Job. Not only was the testimony of the community, there's nobody like Job, but God's testimony of Job was the same. When he talked to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's nobody like him. Can I get an amen somewhere? That's what he said. God's testimony would not be about any of us in this room with that testimony. All of us have some problems somewhere. But God said about Job, there ain't nobody like this man. Now think about that for a minute. And the only thing I can understand about the book, because Job's a pretty good book, when you go down through that thing, man, you think about his friends, his three friends showed up. And there was no cell phones or texting. They just showed up from different places and sat for 7 days and watched him. That's good friends, preacher. But in chapter 4, they became Baptists. Some of you get that by afraid if you read it. They started accusing him of everything. This is why this happened to you, Job. You're a sinner and something's wicked in your life. Say amen right there. And that's what we do sometimes. When people go through suffering, we always try to look why they're suffering and try to blame them. Or blame sin or blame something on them. And folks, if I were you, I'd just hush up about that for a little while until you live life out. I'm simply saying that, man, what a deal. The emotional suffering that family went through is amazing. And preacher, it seemed like the rest of the chapters, if you look at it, he was defending himself. All those chapters, he defending himself. No, that's not why. And he was trying to explain to his friends why God was doing this to him. And then if you read down through the chapters, then God said, shut up. Sometimes God got to tell you, he talks rough to us, and if you're okay with that, that's okay. We got such an effeminate fundamentalism today, God can't even get rough with us. Preacher can't even preach it like it needs to be preached with somebody getting offended. God said, hush. You think you know why I do what I do? Explain this to me, Job. And then he starts going through all this thing. Read it. I tell the ocean to come this far, no further. You explain that? Can you explain that? And he goes down to this whole thing. Trying to tell Job, you don't know nothing, just hush. And Job said, I'll put a hand on my mouth, I'll not speak anymore. I can't contend with Almighty, he knows why. And then when Job began to pray for his friend, that's when God turned the things around and gave him twice as much as he ever had. Are y'all whipping tonight? Say amen. That man went through suffering, that's amazing. And life was awesome to me, preacher, until my son hit a tree doing 100 miles an hour on a motorcycle. Then I had to scrape some of his brain off of concrete. It's wonderful as long as my first wife was in good health. We had a great ministry and things were going well. But man, when you've been gut shot like that, man, that'll take a toll on you emotionally. Nothing could prepare me for that, preacher. And we always say we need to prepare because one day this is going to happen. If the Lord tears us coming, one day we're going to die. So we have to prepare. You can say that you want. I used to say that, but I don't know if you could ever do that. I don't think anything can prepare you for such. We know that'll happen, but getting prepared, I'm not sure if that happens or not. What I had to do is to see things from God's perspective. Are y'all with me now? I had to see it from God's perspective, not from mine. And the whole time, man, when I'm going through this struggle and I'm weeping, I'm sobbing, I can't believe that my wife is gone and dear God, and then now my son, I just can't understand it. I had to get a hold of it that much of what I was going through was selfishness. I wanted her back with me. Why did you have to take, are you with me now? It's selfishness. The truth of the matter is, isn't it amazing that everybody's here that's saved by the grace of God? We want to go to heaven, and when one of us go to heaven, we don't want him to be there. And I got to thinking, man, my wife's in heaven. Why would she want to come back to this hell-bent earth with a wicked individual like me? Why would she want to do that? She's in a perfect place with her Savior, seeing it from God's perspective. That's hard for us to handle. Hard for us to wrap our mind around. But then I said, if she could come back, she would not come back. So it had to dawn on me. I had to stop it, stop crying in my cereal. And I had to say, this is what we all would do if the Lord tears us coming. And what I'm going through right now mostly is nothing but selfishness. I've come to the conclusion that both Carla and my son Joshua belong to God. And they were only on loan from me. I don't want to rebuke any of you parents, but I'm telling you right now, some of you got all your focus on your children and none on your own marriages. And your children were all loan from God to you, and they will leave you when they get married and probably leave you. And then it's going to be just you and mama. You better keep that relationship straight and right. I'm simply saying I had to understand they were just on loan, and I had to, they belonged to God, and he loved them more than I did because I'm a sinner, and so my love is different than God's love. And so I had to understand that he loved them more than me, so I had to trust him that he knew what he was doing and he knew what was best. Listen carefully. Dr. Roloff used to say, when you can't track God, you can always trust him. And when you can't figure it out, folks, just trust God in all of it. These things are not taught in Bible colleges, preacher. We can think we can have church education all along. These things are not taught in Bible college. It's taught through life and trusting God at his word. That's why he gave us a book, folk. He didn't give it just to carry it to church and have a little token. He gave it to us so we might know it and believe it and trust it. Amen. And obey it. Amen. And so when you do and see these things from heaven's standpoint, you'll see clearly. Our eyes are dim now being on earth, and we'll see clearly as we see things through God's perspective. And when we see that, we'll understand that he's in control of it all. Even right now when we see it seems like America is just exploding and the world is actually exploding. We have to be careful to understand that God's still in control and he's still on his throne. And he's not on the throne because you're doing good. And he's not on the throne because you're making a lot of money. And he's not on the throne because you have a job. He's on the throne even when you don't have a job and when you don't have nothing. He's still on the throne and he's still in control. Yes. We have to trust him in that. That's what we trust him with our salvation. We won't trust him with anything else. How sad. So we need to understand that. Do you understand that 1,000 years is a day and a day is 1,000 years with the Lord? Do you understand if I lived to 100, and some of my kinfolk have, the Gomez side, you got to take them out and shoot them in the back 40. They live forever. My great-grandfather lived 101 years old. His brother lived, it was his brother. His brother, no, that's not true. His son lived 103. They just live a long time. I don't know if I have that. I probably not. I lived too wiggedly 20 years before I got saved. He could probably take me out. But if I lived 100 years, that's one-tenth of a day. One-tenth of a day to the Lord. Are y'all with me now? That's what the book says, days, 1,000 years, 1,000 years. Are you with me? Seeing from God's perspective. Do you understand that our life is but a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes away? It's like that. So why don't we just sell out lock, stock, and barrel, like God said, and give ourselves as a living sacrifice for him? We're playing with the will of God. We're playing with our lives, and we ought to be in it lock, stock, and barrel. That doesn't mean you don't have to have fun. You can have fun and be a Christian. I still have fun. It doesn't mean that you don't need to kill animals. I had yard birds write me, rebuking me for killing animals. And I just write them back. Peter said, kill and eat. That's my life verse, and I have been, trust me. I'm simply saying that it is amazing that life on earth is but a vapor. Eternity is forever. And this is when we will come to the conclusion that you don't want them to go, but they're not yours to keep. So just let them go. Preacher, I had to come to the conclusion when all this took place that sometimes you got to tell your loved ones you can go now. I've done that several times. They'll hang on because they feel that they're needed. They're needed. And sometimes you got to just tell them to go. I remember I was saved under Bob Buchanan, Dr. Bob Smith. I was called to preach under Dr. Bob Buchanan. And he had renal failure, and he was in a hospice ward and had rooms with different people that were dying. And I was in a meeting somewhere, and Ms. Buchanan called me, and she said, Keith, it's close. I said, put the phone next to his ear. I'm in a meeting. I said, put a phone next to his ear. And she did. And I said, David, Jonathan's coming. Wait on me. I'm coming. And I remember, Rich, I flew in. After I finished the meeting, I flew in, rented me a car, and I ran down to that place. They gave me the address. And I remember I walked in, and when I walked in, I remember Miss Buchanan and the family pointed at me and said, he's still here because of you. He's waiting on you. Said he'd have been gone 3 days ago, but he's waiting on you. And I remember I bent down and got in his ears, and I said, Doc, David Jonathan's here. You can go on now, man. He was like my brother. And I said, and go on. Had to do that to my wife. Had to tell her the same thing. And just within moments, he was gone. See, our shallow, immature Christian knowledge is that we know very little about biblical perspective, trials and tribulation and suffering. We go through that thing, we curse those things. We hate those things. And God said, I'm allowing you to go through those things for an absolute purpose. Now we read that, we just don't believe that. That's what I'm trying to say, folks. We talk about how much faith we have, but sometimes we read, and what we read, we don't believe, really. I'm going to say it one more time. He lets us and allows us to go through that for a purpose. And I'll get into that in just a little bit. We refuse to accept these, and we end up fighting against God's will. When we refuse to accept these things, we end up fighting against God's will because God has put us in that situation. Are y'all with me now? And when you go through that, you must understand that God is trusting you enough. He thinks so much of you that you have such great faith that you can actually go through this trial. That's why he allows you to go through that. He won't do that with everyone. And so you need to see it from God's perspective. You'll eventually lose your walk with God when you start fighting him against what's going on in your life and because you don't feel you deserve this. Let me tell you what we deserve. All of us deserve hell, and anything outside that is a fringe benefit. And if we're going through some suffering and some trial, it is for a purpose. And we need to understand that. And when you don't, you're fighting against God and you'll end up walking out of God's will and the closeness that you had with the Lord. This refusal will put us in bondage, preacher. We think about the three Hebrew children that faced the fiery furnace, did he not? They said, we're not going to bow down. We believe that our God is going to deliver us. And that's what we do, right? When we go through suffering, trial, I believe that our God is going to deliver us. That's what we pray for, right? When somebody's sick, we're going to pray that God's going to heal them. But this is what they said, but if not, I have a whole message on that, but if not. That's the way our faith should be. God's going to deliver me, but if not, I'm still going to trust him and I'm still not going to bow down to your false God. I'm not going to do it. So we need to understand, have you ever considered this, that the only thing that burnt on those three Hebrew children were the ropes that bound them, that had them bound? You ever thought about that? That's what burnt. I mean, the Bible says that when they came out, they didn't even smell the smoke. That's more I can say for most Baptists. You know, that was one of the sins that had me. I mean, it was the hardest thing for me to repent of. And remember when I taught you in school at Hiles Sanders, remember that? I might have talked about that. It was hard for me to stop smoking. And I did. Finally, God gave me grace. But I pastored 40 years. I'm thinking about taking it up again. But anyway, the only thing that burned on them was the ropes, preacher. Think about that for a minute. The thing that bound them was burned up. And when God puts you through suffering and trials and the fiery trials of God, sometimes he's trying to burn the dross off of our lives, which binding us to this world. Think about this for a minute. We talk about don't be worldly, and we talk about dress, and we talk about all that. Are you kidding me? It's loving this cosmos, bro. Don't want to disrupt your little service tonight, but I'm telling you, we love this earth so much and this world so much, we want to stay here. That's the love of the world. And God said, what I want to do is burn all that out of your life. He didn't say you couldn't have fun. Didn't say you couldn't have things, as long as things don't have you. Are you with me now? Say amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that most people are chasing, trying to catch, you'll never catch. He said, you seek me first in my righteousness, and all those things that you were pursuing is going to pursue you. And one day they're going to catch up with you. When they catch up with you, people are going to criticize you because you're going to have a whole lot of stuff. If I could grab some young people and tell them, would you please seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and watch how those things that all everybody else is working for, trying to get, will come your way according to the Bible. So we need to understand that thing. And when God puts us in fiery trials, he just burns away the things that bind us to this old world. I thought about it, preacher, after I lost my wife and son, and just thinking about my mom, dad, grandpa, grandma, et cetera. I thought about it, my son. I said, man, I have lost every relationship on planet Earth. I wasn't feeling sorry for myself. I just thought through that thing. I said, well, other people surely have. I'm not the only person that's ever lost every living relationship on planet Earth. But you go down through the relationships that you have. I lost every one of them. Wouldn't feel sorry. I just thought through that thing, and I went to sleep that night. And I'm telling you, at the middle of the night, the Lord woke me up, and I sat straight up in bed, and he said, you still have two living mother-in-laws. I got to thinking, man, that's the ones you want to go first, right? And I did. I had my first mother-in-law was still living. My second one after I married Kim. And one day, preacher, they're sitting back here together and they're whispering back. I said, folks, I'm in trouble this morning. I don't know if I can preach. I'm looking at two devils that's gotten in the service right here and they're going to kill me. I said, so don't talk to those two women back there, because they could blackmail me for sure. Now both of them are gone. And I've lost every living relationship on planet Earth. And thank God they're a Christian. And thank God we'll see them again. So why and how does trials and suffering and tribulation come to us? You'll write these things down real quickly. Number one, sometimes we bring it upon ourselves. Our foolish sinfulness sometimes will come home the roost. Say amen right there. You know what I'm saying. I just told you, man, all the pain. I used to fight like a wild man, right? I mean, that's what Cajuns do for pastime. We get drunk and we fight. And so we used to do that. I know I wasn't as sanctimonious as some of you. That's the life I lived before I got saved. Love to fight. And so fighting and football and falling out of trees, are you with me? I'm reaping. Y'all ever heard that? Well, so you're going to reap. I'm reaping. The chickens are coming home the roost. So you need to understand that sometimes suffering comes because of our sinfulness, or we just bring it upon ourselves. The reaping process of wrongdoing is going to come home. So sometimes this suffering becomes because of, and God sometimes have to spank us to get us back in line. Are y'all whipping tonight? Hebrews 12:11. Now, no chastening is the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, after it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Let me talk to you a little, just 2 seconds, about chastening. It's not like we do our children. God's hand's a lot bigger than ours, and when he chastens you, he'll do the job right. Now, I don't know about you, I want God's hand on me for good. I don't want his hand against me for bad. Are you with me now? So sometimes when suffering comes, it's God spanking us, trying to get us back in shape. Are you with me now? Sometimes he'll tap us on the shoulder and say, no, You know what I'm talking about. If you have the Holy Ghost in you, you know what I'm talking about. When you first get saved, you can't say that word no more. You can't go there anymore. You with me now? And you keep on. He'll go, hey. See, sometimes we make God out that he's untouchable and that he's not involved in our lives, when the Bible says he has the very hairs of our head numbered. In my case, subtracting quite frequently. Are you with me now? So every now and again, he'll have to tap us a little harder. Then he said, that's it. You ain't gonna listen to me. Watch this. And then chastening will come. I have a whole message on chastening. It would rock this church. But when God gets through with you, my friend, you'll get the message. Are you with me now? So sometimes we bring it upon ourselves. Number two, quickly, circumstances beyond our control sometimes will bring suffering. Medical conditions. There's precious folks in this room right now that pastor loves with all of his heart. And you have a medical condition. You didn't bring that. You didn't pray for that. It's just natural. It came upon you. Circumstances. My first wife's dad was a man's man. He had a brain tumor, died at 40, in his 40s. Miss Mateo in our church had her last child when she had brain cancer. She had a baby. She had four children, two young teenage girls, and then another young boy, and then this little bitty girl. Are you with me? Left that little bitty family. He's a good man. We reached him when he was like, I think he was 2 years old. Wasn't supposed to ride the bus, but they got on the bus and reached that whole family. He became one of the finest men. His whole family just one of the finest men. His family and all the siblings serve God now. But he's a man's man, and he married this good girl that came to our school and four children. I'd preach, and she'd be there all the time, sitting in the back, taking all those medicines, and her face would get swollen. She was in her 30s. Death is no respect to person, folks. I had to deal with a lot of these people because I've gone through it. My grandson, friends with a young boy that's in his early 20s, has got cancer. Medical conditions beyond our control, sickness, terminal illness, depression. I'm shocked at how many people are going through depression. The only time I get depressed is when I don't kill a whitetail during the hunting season, but folks, that's a real thing, preacher. I guess I might have went through that after I lost my wife. I don't know. I can't determine that, but I guess I did. I don't know. Some people say you do. I don't know. I just kept plowing on. Sometimes people are stronger and they can get through that stuff, but they're actually suffering from it. But I have a dear friend, a pastor friend of mine, that called me, and preacher, when you have not gone through it, it's hard to help people. He said, Brother Gomez, I need your help. I'm going through something I can't explain. And he began to explain what he was feeling, what he was doing, going through deep depression. And I said, Brother, I can pray for you. I didn't know what to tell him. I preach for him every year just about. And now he's fine. He's fine now. He got victory. But I got thinking, it almost destroyed his family and his life and his ministry. And by the way, a godly man, a good man, walks with God. It's just an attack of Satan. Are you with me now? In circumstances beyond our control, maybe an attack of Satan, it'll come to you too. Not only the preacher, but it'll come to you too. Loss of a loved one. Suffering, when you're going through that emotional pain, a loss of somebody that you love. Rejection sometimes. Folks in this room, maybe your spouse left you and rejected you, and you don't understand that. Sometimes people tease and all this other stuff, and you feel rejected. Maybe you divorce even, you feel rejected. Maybe a victim of crime. Are you with me? I'm talking about some of the things in life that happen to people in our churches that we never address. These sufferings come. Maybe abandonment. Mistreatment. I had a man in my church that was an orphan, was given away as an orphan. I wish you'd take advantage of the book table right out here, but there's a CD I got. That gal can sing it down, boy. She blesses my heart every time she sings. She was given up by her mother. And I won't go into it, but my mother was living very wickedly, and now even living more wickedly than when she was living, and gave her up to the grandparents. Grandparents raised her. She came to our college, married one of our good boys, and they're members there now. She can sing it down, boy. Because when somebody's going through that much suffering, preacher, they can sing like nobody else can sing. And the song she sang, she wrote some that on there, just blesses my gizzard. You say, what is that? Southern folks have gizzards. You Yankees don't have that. That's why some of y'all need transplants. But anyway, I'm simply saying that you know, if anybody was mistreated, it was Joseph, when you study the life of Joseph. All of it for the reason, and everything that came to Joseph in suffering, he ended up rising to the top because his spirit and his attitude was right, and he trusted God in every one of it. Are y'all with me tonight? Third thing I want to say is God is allowing this trial to mold us and make us into what he wants us to be, not what we want to be. So when we go through some of these things, sometimes what he's doing is he's trying to form and make us. He's still working on us. I often pray, dear God, keep me on the wheel, Jeremiah 18. Keep forming me into a fashion and a vessel for your use. Are y'all whipping out? My sister was a world-renowned sculptor. And I saw a little bit of her work, and I won't go into all of that, but Kim and I were somewhere, I think in Tennessee, and we watched a guy working on some clay, and they put that big glob right there, right? And then they start putting pressure on it, right? And sometimes they'll hit something, a rock or something, they got to remove that rock. Come on, talk to me now. And when God's working on us sometimes and putting pressure on us, he's trying to form us. And sometimes we hate that. The potter always will finish that vessel the way he wants to. And since he's the potter and we're the clay, he can put all the pressure he wants on us. What we have to do is handle it and allow him to form us into something that he can use. You know, he may have something bigger for us. That's why he's putting us through the trials and tribulations. He may have something bigger for us in our ministry, in our life, in our family. So we need to understand that. Listen to some of these verses. You want to write them down. John chapter 9, 1 through 3. And Jesus passed by and saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents? And he was, that he was born blind. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. Listen carefully, but that the works of God should be manifested in him. Sometimes God will allow us to go through suffering and trials because he's trying to do a work in us, and there's somebody watching you, and you've gone on and shot your mouth off saying what a great Christian you are, and they're watching you seeing if you're going to really say and have the faith that you say you have. They're watching you. It's a work, a manifested work that God's trying to do in us. Are you with me now? That guy was born blind because God was going to prove something to everybody and going to manifest himself. God was going to manifest himself in that man's suffering. Blind man. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. I wish you could get that. Normally, trials and tribulations, suffering is only for a season. If need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, I have a message I preach on faith on trial. And that's what God's going to try to do. He's going to try to find out if we really mean what we say. That's what we do in football. That's what buds are about. That's why these boys are special forces guys and these SEALs. They go through a trial and tribulation and start weeding them out. And sometimes God's going to have to separate the sheep from the goat to find out if we're really what we are. Are we long on lip and short on life? Or are we really what we say we are? And sometimes he'll put us through that. The trial of your faith being, listen carefully, much more precious than gold that perisheth. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Preacher, if we had a bowl full of gold, which is what, help me guys, $2,400 an ounce now, $2,400 an ounce. If we had that and had trials and tribulation and suffering here, I want you to come pick one. Folks, y'all can take your halos off. I know what you're going to do. You do what I do. I'm going for the gold, bless God. Did you read what I just read? That this is more precious than that. And we sport that stuff on our fingers and around our neck, all that gold. We think all that's good. God said it's going to perish one day. But that right there is going with us. Boy, it's getting quiet tonight, but I'm just asking. I'm just saying I'm giving you the Bible. I'm sorry. Not black words on white piece of paper. He said that is better than that. It's more precious than that. Now, we don't see it that way. And I understand that. We're fleshly. We're worldly. And, man, we don't want to go through suffering. And for you to ask for it is stupid. Don't ask for it. It'll come naturally. Trust me. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy When you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God is trying to make us perfect and entire. He don't want us to stay elementary. He wants to mature every one of us. And it doesn't take long to mature us if you'll just allow him to work on you. And sometimes that's going to be painful. Isn't it amazing that we start falling apart when we get our age? And we go to the doctor to repair us, to make us whole again. Yet when we go through suffering, we don't go through suffering because we don't want God to make us whole again. I don't know if you know this or not, but we belong to him. When he purchased us, he purchased all of us. He didn't purchase somebody, he purchased all of us. So we got to give him what he purchased. And if he wants to work on me, let him work on me, right? Romans 8:28, we love to quote that, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them to accord him. But we never quote the next verse. We're predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son. The reason he puts us through the suffering and the trials and tribulation, he's trying to make us more like Jesus Christ. And yet we're cursing that. We hate that. When the Bible says we ought to be joyful over that. You know, it's amazing when we're talking about God's perspective, and that's what I'm talking about tonight. Isn't it funny that what I'm saying right now ain't sitting well with any of you? Doesn't sit well with me. But that's what he says. And so I'm simply saying that we need under 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 13, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye shall be glad also with exceeding joy. Preacher, we love the power of his resurrection. We hate the fellowship of his suffering. And you're never going to have the power of God until you go through the fellowship of his suffering. I've never known God to ever use anybody that he hadn't bruised first. God uses broken things. Go down through the Word of God, read it as many times as I have. You'll see that everybody was broken God used. Are y'all with me tonight? When you read down through that book, it seems like every individual, every character had some flaw, which shows me that they're not different, much different than us. They had some flaw, some sin, except Joseph. I almost preached on Joseph this week. I won't, but he's like Jesus Christ in 150 particulars. Joseph is. I'm simply saying we want his power. Dear God, give me power. Don't give me suffering, give me power. And we want the power of his resurrection. We just don't like the fellowship of his suffering. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 through 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patient experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It's amazing, all these verses, and there's many more. And God allows us to go through that stuff because he's trying to form us and make us into the image of his Son. I think it's interesting, folks, and I'm just about concluded. Listen, I think it's interesting that Satan is never mentioned one time. Like we do. It's Satan. Satan's attacking us, and Satan's bringing us all the time, right? And then some of you folks, bless your heart, I know that you're good people, but I mean, if you have a remote control on the television, you're watching these heretics on television, they're always telling you that all the suffering and problems you're having is because of Satan. I want to say one more time, we just read a lot of scriptures. I didn't read one time where Satan had anything to do with it. I did read where God allowed it. Whoa, that was a curveball. God allowed it. I'm simply saying that God allowed us through suffering for his own purpose and for our own good. Amen. Let's not give Satan so much credit for what's going on in our life. See, when you see it that way and understand that's what God's doing in our life, then you'll accept it. And when you accept it, you glorify God in it and you grow close to him. Do you understand that suffering, when we suffer, man, we always run to him, right? We never really begging him for anything until we get our fat in the fire. We get our fat in the fire, then we run to him. Oh, God, help. Well, see, when you go through suffering, boy, it draws you close to him. Amen. I never cried so much. I never begged him so much as when I went through the suffering, preacher. I prayed all the time, but man, when you're going through deep waters like that, you're begging him. And so that's why sometimes he allows that to happen. And so all of us will go through some of this, and it's for him to put us through school to help others as they're going through the same trials. I guess Larry Brown, just brief for y'all here. When his wife got diagnosed, he called me. He said, I got to talk to you now. And I told him about a little book that was sent to me. And it was about a year after Carla died. I was not going through daily suffering, but I was going through now the suffering and emotional thing. It was deeper. And I thought, I said, I got to stand for my people. I had just come back. I stayed away for 2 months. The church grew, doing great. A lot of people saved and baptized. They were doing better. The church was doing better without me than with me. And I had to come back and wreck the thing. But anyway, I do better without the pastor. But anyway, so I remember that I came back and I was trying to help as best I could. And I just didn't know what to do. I didn't touch the pulpit. I just didn't know. And all I wanted to do was pass school. I just wanted to, whatever God's school was putting me through, I just wanted to pass that class is what I wanted to do. And it's amazing how God will allow you to go through that. And when you pass, then he says, fine, now I can use you in a deeper way, in a better way. I almost asked folks, could you give me just a little more time off? I just need to go settle something in my heart. I'm not hurting as often, but I'm hurting deeper now. And preacher, I went home, it was on a Friday. And I want to say this to you that maybe have lost loved ones. There's a euphoria of freedom, preacher. It's a really weird thing. When I lost my wife, I was free again. It may sound crazy, but I mean, the twain had been one flesh, and now that has been, and I felt a euphoria of freedom. In other words, I can stay in the office and work as late as I want in the office. I could go soul winning and stay as late as I want soul winning. I didn't have to be home at 5 for supper that she slaved over the stove. Are you with me now? Some of you are not getting this, but some of you will, and some of you will go through this when you pull up to a house and it's dark, when there was always light there. You women don't know how much noise you make, and you men don't understand how much noise they make. They make a lot of noise, clearly. Walking, dishes. Go to a quiet house. No food smells, nothing cooking. That's some deep stuff, man. Go to bed, a woman that's stayed with you 34 and a half years. And you just kind of throw your arm over there and you feel her. And you sit up in bed and look and she's not there. That's some weird stuff, man. And I said, I just need to go away for just a little while, settle this thing in me, and I'll come back. And I was going to ask him to do that on Sunday. This is a Friday. And I was moving a box, and a little pamphlet slid out, and it had a little prayer card with it. It said, Brother Gomez, I followed your ministry for 25 years. I met you 25 years ago, heard you preach, and I've kept up with you all these years. Then he said, I was part of a prison ministry, and then I understood who he was. I remembered him. And he said, my first wife died, and this is my second wife. We're doing wonderful. He said, I sent this little booklet to you. It's when a loved one dies, or I think it's that way, by Lehman Strauss. And he said, I want to send you this. I will give the prisoners that. And this helped me when I lost my wife. It might help you. Preacher, I sat down, a little bit thin book. I read through it that afternoon. I threw that thing down. I said, I ain't got to go nowhere. God sent the balm of Gilead to my soul and healed me up that day. I got three things I sent Brother Brown. I sent it to hundreds out. My secretary has stacks of them. And she sends them every time somebody will come up to say, I lost my wife. I just came from a church in, Texas. Several churches in Texas where men came to me weeping, sobbing, saying, one came up a book table and said, I just lost her 2 days ago. The man who was sitting next to him lost his wife 1 year ago, and I was with him when he had lost her just several days ago. And I send these books out. I only got three things. I told Brother Brown, I only got three things out of it. Number one, that it was a lot more in there, but I got three things that helped me. Because see, after the funeral, I went back by the grave, and the tent was not up. I saw the woman that I loved for 34 and a half years under the dirt. I couldn't handle that. So in that book, it talked about Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand, that word departure. It has the connotation of picking up the game planks of life and sailing yonder to golden shores. That had a great connotation to me. Preacher, everything that I read in that book is what you and I help people with at a funeral. But there's a difference us using that book to help people versus us owning those verses ourselves. There's a difference. I had to own those verses. And I got to thinking, well, that's what she did. It was time. We're all going to die one day. She just picked up the game planks of life, and she's sailing to those golden shores of heaven. I read on, and it said, Lazarus is dead. No, he sleepeth. Come on, folks, talk to me now. That's what the Lord said, he sleepeth. I got to thinking, man, sleeping's a good thing. I'd like to get some every now and again. My wife is sleeping. That's a good thing. She's a hardworking gal. Are y'all with me? It's just something, it might be weird to you, but it comforted me that she picked up a game plank. She's going to heaven. She's golden shores. She's sleeping. And then the last thing was a little word only used twice in the King James Bible called decease. We're going to drop this robe of flesh and rise to receive a glorified body. Her cancer is gone. She's not suffering anymore. And if you love your wife the way you need it and you love your husband the way you should, you don't want to see him suffer like that. She has a perfect body now. When you beg for healing, sometimes God does heal him. They heal him perfectly, which means he sometimes has to take him home. So you need to understand that sometimes it's for, listen one more time, sometimes he'll allow us to go through the school of suffering that we might help others. Folks, listen, I'd hate to know that I'm standing here today preaching to you that I went through what I went through just for me, for you to feel sorry. I don't want sorry, nobody to feel sorry for me. I want you to know that God put me through that so I might help others that had the problem. And that's what I'm trying to say. And that's what I've been doing now since all of this has happened. I've dealt with many that's lost their children. I've dealt with many that have lost their spouse. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith ourselves are comforted of God. That's an amazing verse. So what God is allowing you to go through is not for you. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Just illustrate real quick and I'll shut her down. There's some precious ladies in this room that had had miscarriages. If you're not careful, it's all about you and you want people to give you pity and mercy. But the truth of the matter is, if you've gone through that, isn't it a wonderful ministry? And I almost preached on that also this week, the ministry of suffering. That God allowed you to go that you might find another lady in the church that went through that same thing and you can go cuddle up to her and explain to her how you felt and help her through her dilemma. That's why God allows us to go through what we do. Understand, my Christian friend, that God will never put more on us than we can handle, ever. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there is no temptation taking you as such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Sometimes that escape is death. One day all suffering and trial and heartache will pass away. I hope you have enough faith to understand that one day we're going to see him face to face. I hope you're excited about the second coming of Christ, which is not being preached very much anymore. Dr. Lee Robertson used to preach that all the time. And everywhere he went, preached on the second coming of Christ. I hope you understand that one day we'll see him face to face. We'll be with our Lord where there's no pain, no sorrow, no tears, nothing but rejoicing. We're so earthly right now, preacher. I don't know if we're seeing the glory of heaven. Paul couldn't explain it, but we got to at least stop long enough and get off all the social media and all the trash that we're bogging our minds down and really think and meditate a little bit one day. When was the last time you just stopped and stared up at the clouds? Say, one day, man, we're going to hear that trump sound. And we're going on up. You imagine Apostle Paul explaining everything that he went through, but he cannot explain heaven because our minds can't comprehend that. We can read enough about it to know that, man, this is going to be a place that's unbelievable. Can you imagine going there? And of course, we're going to want to see the face of the Savior, but then all the people are going to welcome that. I don't know how it's going to be, preacher. I mean, I don't want to embellish, and I don't want to be dogmatic with the Bible silent, but I really feel that when we enter heaven, the multitudes of our loved ones is going ahead of us. And think about a ministry like this, all the folks that this church has reached and going to welcome us. And we're going to say howdy with them. Be like one big family reunion. Hey, man. No marriage are given in marriage. Let me say it again. No marriage are given in marriage, but we know one another even as we're known. So you got to understand that my first wife is buried here. I bought a plot right next to her here, and I bought one for me, and then I bought another one for Kim. She's here. I bought one for me, and then I bought one for Kim. I tell everybody, I said, bless God, when we go up, I'm going on with two on each arm, we're going on up. But there'll be no marriage, you give it in marriage. One day we're going to see him face to face. All sorrow, all pain, all tears will be gone. We're either going up in the rapture or in death, either one. I'm good with any of it. Seeing things from God's perspective. That's hard to do sometimes, folks, but if you would, you could actually walk with a spring yourself and get a smile on your face every now and again. Christians are the most depressed people I've ever seen in my life because we're not keeping this thing in God's perspective. We're too stinking earthbound looking at all the stinking mess that's going on around us, and we're not rejoicing in him and praising him. We can sing the songs, but do you sing it from your heart? And are you walking around with a spring in yourself and excited about being a born-again Christian? One day we're going to see him. I cannot tell you. We got pictures. If you want to go on the website and at Northwest Bible Baptist Church, I think you can go still. I think they still got the funeral on there. Everybody have it on there. I think you can go and watch it, look at the funeral and all, and those flowers. I mean, just in our home, it came to our home from all over the world. There's flowers all upstairs on third floor, and just all down the stairwells, and then around every room in that house, 5,500 square foot house. Flowers everywhere. My wife's laying in a hospice bed looking out our window in our master bedroom, looking at snowflakes that big around. You know, when it snows in big flakes. And she looks at me and she said, this is so beautiful. I said, woman, you're dying. She said, yeah, I'm living my funeral. I said, what? I'm living my funeral. Who gets to live their funeral? I said, I don't understand what you're talking about. She said, smell the flowers. The only time flowers are given is when you're in the box. I'm smelling the flowers. Look at the snow. Look at God, what God's doing. He said, it is so wonderful. I remember when she was diagnosed untreatable. Done. Incurable, untreatable. How would you like to get that diagnosis? I asked her, so how are you doing? She said, I'm not good with this. The next day I went to see her. We prayed about it. Next day in the hospital, she said, I'm good with this. Sometimes between the time she was diagnosed to the next morning, she got a hold of God. And she said, I'm good with this. I went to God. Than any of us, and all of us go through deep water, we'll be able to say, I'm good with this. Because God has a purpose. I don't understand, and he doesn't have to explain it to us. All we have to do is by faith accept it. Amen. Amen. Let's stand our feet, please.